outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
And now, broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, you're listening to Sam and Steph in the Morning. If you'd like to take part in the show today, please dial 323-203-0815. And now, here are your program hosts, Sam and Steph, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. It's Thursday, December 1st.
Woohoo!
Do you believe it's December already?
I know, it's so exciting. Now I can officially listen to Christmas music without feeling guilty.
Yeah, and start decorating.
Yeah, I never decorate.
You don't decorate?
No, I'm a party pooper when it comes to that.
Well, it adds so much
Scrooge.
Mood, you know, to the holiday,
it
I think.
It does, it does.
Yeah, but that's okay. Somebody else will decorate for
True.
You.
True.
You enjoy other people's decorations.
Exactly. Yeah. All the neighbors. I don't have to. Did you hear the wind last night? Holy crap.
The wind is something that I've never seen it this bad before. You know, and we get Santa Ana winds here, but it was bad. I mean, I got up in the morning. Our furniture in the balcony was all over the place.
No way.
Yeah.
I had to take the garbage out last night. I don't know why I chose to do it last night. I could have just waited till this morning.
Uh-huh.
I'm weird. But literally, the wind blew me. I was like flying, galloping over the street. It was horrible.
I know. And it started out of nowhere suddenly, like around 6 o'clock last night. It came out of nowhere. And I guess, you know, like in Simi Valley and stuff, it's like around... like 80 miles an hour or something.
Wow.
You know? Yeah.
I sleep the best, though, when it rains or it's windy out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy dream.
I don't like wind. I don't know. It destroys everything.
It's true.
I'll take rain. So,
What's up?
Yeah, what's up?
Some crazy stories in the news, actually.
Yeah. Okay,
I'm kind of creeped out. But
we'll get to them. I just want to preview. We're going to have, we do have a couple of special guests in the studio. We'll get to you guys in just a second. But go ahead and say what you want to say.
Is it my turn? Well, no, this is crazy. Uh-huh. So a man orders a prostitute. This is in Zimbabwe, of course.
Zimbabwe.
Of course. Yeah. Can't be in America because nothing crazy happens in America. So a man orders a prostitute, uh-huh. and guess who shows up at his door?
Who?
His daughter! His daughter!
Wow!
Can you believe it? So he ends up collapsing, ends up in the hospital. So that's crazy.
Wow.
Right?
How weird is that, huh?
Right.
Wow. I would die.
Uh-huh.
I would totally die, man.
So obviously he's apologizing to his daughter, of course, and his wife, because apparently he's cheating.
Right.
He said his marriage was off to a rocky, you know, has been rocky. Well, no shit. Holy crap. It's horrible. And one other one that's really bad, a father put his 5-year-old son in the washing machine, butt naked, as a punishment because his son destroyed a classmate's drawing, a picture.
Wow.
So to punish him, he put his 5-year-old son in the washing machine, and the child died.
Full cycle?
The child died. Full cycle? I don't know what cycle it was. I wasn't really
The child died? Wow.
The child
drowned,
died.
Huh?
Yes.
Wow.
I don't know if it was just drowning. I mean, I'm sure it's a combination of things.
Wow.
Tumbling back and forth.
I mean,
that's horrible.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Was that in the washer or in the dryer?
The washer.
In the washer.
Let me double check. Let me double check. Yeah, washing machine.
Wow.
So he's under investigation for murdering his child.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother, who's a mother of 7 children, is in jail right now because she failed to prevent the crime from happening. She was there.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. I mean... details to come, obviously. Look it up, but that's creepy.
That's a terrible thing to hear about. Wow.
Mm.
Yeah. People do all kinds of crazy shit, you know? Like, for example, have you heard of Siri, which is like on the iPhone? It's the voice assistant sort of, you know? It's like you ask it questions.
Look at my phone, okay?
Here, I'll play you something.
Cent.
Let's see. I always want to play Siri on the air, and I never remember. What can we ask her? Let's ask her about this, because apparently what happens is some people are complaining to Apple because they haven't included abortion clinics on Siri. In other words, supposedly if you look for an abortion clinic, it won't find it.
Okay.
So let me see if we can duplicate that and see.
So this is like it's an application on the iPhone.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, hold on. It's recording us. It won't understand what we said. Hold on a second. Okay. Okay, what can I help you with? Okay.
It's so hard to be quiet.
I found a number of recording studios fairly close to you.
What? Recording studio?
Recording studios.
I found a number of recording studios fairly close to you. Wow.
I'm confused.
We didn't talk about recording studios.
What did you even do? You type something in?
I asked her. Yeah. No, you ask her. You talk to her.
Oh.
So let's see. An abortion clinic.
I didn't find any abortion clinics.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay,
see,
I see.
So that's what they meant.
So it's like a Google, but you can speak to it.
Yeah, well, it does
it'll
a lot of things.
Anything.
It'll tell you anything. You know, what
that's
do you want
cool.
to ask it? Let's ask it something.
I'd rather not. My questions aren't appropriate at this time. You know what's really cool, though? There's an application also where, you know, anywhere you are, you can play music. I'm so out of fashion. I know everybody knows about this stuff, but I'm just finding it out.
Yeah.
Hence my one penny phone.
Yeah.
But there's an application... gums in the middle of my mouth.
Yeah.
There's an application where you can play music, like any song anywhere, and it'll record like 20 seconds of it and then tell you what song it was.
Yeah, I mean, that's nothing new. I mean, that's been happening for a long time.
I just discovered this.
Isn't that amazing,
so cool.
though? It is really amazing. And when I first saw that, I thought, what a technology, you know? I mean, it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. So, well, yeah, so there's a lot going on, but we'll leave that for another day. Let's bring in our guests. We have Ethan Detmeyer in the studio. He's the host of three shows here.
Holy crap.
His flagship show is Combat Radio, and that's on Fridays at 11. Then he has Maybe the Forbes Be With You with Derek Forbes, and a known musician, and that is at 10 on Friday. And then on Wednesday you do NACA Radio. Which is, tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, first of all, thanks for letting me barge in here and force an invite to your show. It's a privilege. I actually posted the credibility of this show on my Facebook as being part of the, what is it, the Fabulous 50 or the Fortune 50, like one of the hottest.
Yeah, the Frontier 50.
The Frontier 50, yeah, right.
Right.
And I said, finally, we're going to do some radio with a little credibility.
You know,
as opposed to the shows I do that are quite comical and distracting from real everyday life. But NACA Radio is on Wednesdays. And that's for the Neighborhood Assistance Corporation of America, which is basically a nonprofit HUD-certified organization that makes a sole nonprofit effort to modify homes so people don't lose them. Probably the most important show I do. It's the in many ways, to be honest, it's less entertaining. It focuses on Wall Street news and
right.
You know, but we're constantly, you know, in touch with the president, trying to push issues.
Wow.
Trying to get some things.
But it's a relevant show, obviously.
Very important. Well, it's pivotal to turning the economy around, because basically what they're trying to do is they take the current market value of your house, essentially, and I'm not going to bore the audience with this.
Yeah.
And they go back to their servicers, the banks who they have contracts with, and say, he now needs a mortgage payment in conjunction with what the actual home is worth. Not what it was worth 3 years ago at $600,000,
right.
Now $300,000. And by doing so, they turn around the economy, because once you know you can have a house over your head and a home, you know, home for your family, you start buying right. shoes and food and things like that.
Right.
And it's a good way to kind of stop the spiraling out of control. So that's actually a very important show on Wednesdays. There's an archive for it, of course, as LA Talk Radio is fabulous at archiving all the information for people who want to get it on your iPhones later today.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a great cause. It's a very important cause to me. And actually, it's a very emotional show, because a lot of the people that call in have had their home saved. And basically have had their lives saved. And I've been to NACA events. I went to one at the sports arena, and there was 10 times as many people there. It was like a Star Wars premiere.
Really?
10 times as many people there as there was at any Clipper game when the Clippers played there.
Yeah.
And, you know, on the floor, you know, is half of its NACA counselors and fax machines getting your paperwork in order, and the other half of its banks, Bank of America, Wells Fargo. Mm-hmm. The NACA counselor walks you over. Usually 2, 3, 4 hours after that, you have a new deal.
Wow.
But the place was full of people, and I saw the elderly. I saw the blind. I saw people coming in panicked and nervous. I saw people that clearly looked like a potential suicide
if
they couldn't save their home, which many people have turned out to be. And then I've seen people come out and say, look, bang, you know, you're done. You now have something affordable.
Right. Wow.
So it's a noble cause, and it's not like nonprofit on the surface. It's nonprofit HUD certified, which is the big difference, because first it was predatorial lending, and then it was predatorial modification, where people were like, give me $3,000 and I'll get you modified, and they wouldn't do anything. Now, you know, President Obama outlawed that. You can't pay for an advance for a modification, but there's no money at any step of the way. They get you your modification, done deal.
Yeah, wow. That's
They're paid
cool.
through the HUD. So yeah, and I do their radio content, and it's more of a, you know, a volunteer post for me, and it's kind of a calling to do it because of really what they're offering people, and they're really the only organization trying to do anything with all these paid whores in Washington.
Yeah.
You know, who are clearly on the take. I mean, so much so that Newt Gingrich has a three-hour conversation with Freddie Mac for $1.8 million.
Yeah.
No coincidence that he's running for president. I'm sure that had nothing to do with the paycheck, but 3 hours at $1.8 million, I mean, come on.
Wow.
I'm way cheaper than that, if you want to talk to me. Way cheaper. So it's really ridiculous when the politicians don't even bother to hire what whore, you know, bother to hide what whores they are.
Yeah.
And who basically pulls their strings. You know, we had a Republican debate where none of the candidates even mentioned the housing crisis, yet we have a Democratic president who refuses to sign, you know, a moratorium on foreclosures with Freddie Mac that he can do, that an organization that controls over 80% of the mortgages. He doesn't need Senate approval to do it. So he's not doing anything. The Republicans aren't even talking about it. And it's kind of like they're waiting for it to fix itself because, you know, they're all on the payroll of some bank, some evil institution. Anyway, that's that.
So that's Nick.
Want me to get out of here now?
Okay, yeah. Well, let's let's introduce your wife, of course.
Yes.
Loda Hadley, right?
Sorry. How rude. I mean, now your audience is going to want to stone me. But yeah, this is Loda Hadley, who's instrumental
Loda,
in everything we do.
And she's half asleep or half awake, depends on how you want to look at it.
Aren't we all?
Welcome to the show, Loda.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on something Stephanie said, which was about the Christmas music. I was like, we're halfway through Halloween and they're starting to play Christmas music.
I'm
like,
I know.
Quit reminding me of how much money I'm going to have to spend in December. Can we just hold off on that?
I was listening to some Sinatra Christmas music this morning. Loda just actually wrapped what would be like an 18-hour shift at Warner Brothers. So
wow.
A little fatigued.
You work nights, right? Yeah, so you always come in here tired and everything because it's the end of your day, of your work day.
I don't work here at nights, and I always come in tired, too. So
I know, the same here.
I'm just kidding.
I know.
What do you do at Warner Brothers?
I work in post-production.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah, I see all the movies that you guys are going to see. Like, we're working on mastering Sherlock Holmes already and hasn't even been in theaters.
That statement, it's harder than you realize to watch some of these movies that Warner Brothers is putting out.
Really?
Quite frankly, it's a freight train of disaster. This is the studio that, you know, gave us things like Malibu's Most Wanted. Basically, have train wrecked us for hundreds of millions of dollars by just supplying shit content. Excuse my language.
Yeah. So have they had any hits lately? I mean, so you mentioned Sherlock Holmes.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It looks good. I can't wait to see it.
That may be the exception.
The first one I couldn't get into. I don't know why. You know, it just seemed like too much talking, I think. I don't know. I think I expected something else.
I liked it.
So I didn't enjoy it. Did you like it?
I did.
Yeah.
I loved the Roy William Neal directed Basil Rathbone Sherlock Holmes, which was like the Universal staple for years. It was first over at Fox for the first two movies, and then Universal for like the final 12 or 14 or something like that. And I grew up on those. So for me, it's also tough to kind of look at this and embrace this. Although I did like it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same sort of like eerie sort of almost classiness that the Basil Rathbone Sherlock Holmes
had. It kind of takes a detour, I think, around what Sherlock Holmes really is, you know. Mm-hmm. But what the hell, you know, that's movies, that's art for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you want classy, I was running a very Harold and Kumar Christmas, and that's I'm just going to say that. You want classy in the sarcastic sense. Harold and Kumar.
There must be an audience for it. I don't understand it, but there must
be
an audience for it.
I'm the audience. No, okay. Can you understand that? No.
Look, we're not going to fault anyone for seeing Harold and Kumar's Christmas. It's a free country, kind of.
What other good movies do they have coming up?
Let's see.
Talking to the microphone, Loda, so we can hear you.
Let's see. There's the very Harold and Kumar Christmas that's in 3D.
Yeah.
And Sherlock Holmes. And let's see. Extremely Loud. It's a very good movie. Tom Hanks.
Extremely Loud. I haven't heard of that one yet.
Yeah, it's really, really good. It's about a kid who loses his parents through 9/11. And his journey through finding closure. It's amazing.
I've been waiting for a good movie based on the 9/11 event, but someone's personal experience, you know?
It's really
good.
They haven't had any, yeah.
I was kicked under the bus when I was in the Bel Air production office at Warner Brothers right at during 9/11 because we were on the production of Arnold Schwarzenegger's Collateral Damage.
Yeah.
The producer of which has done, you know, The Thing remake, The Fog. He was on Combat Radio once talking a little bit about this. And, you know, the Warner Brothers had spent what was rumored to be millions and millions and millions of dollars to shelve the product because of the sensitivity to 9/11.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think the audience wants payback. I don't think you should shelve this. I think we got to, even if it's on screen and it's Arnold saying, let me ax you a few questions,
yeah.
You know, because he kills a guy with an ax and then whatever it was. I was like, you know, they're going to be making movies about this soon enough. I think Americans really want payback. And I was like ousted as being Satan for even suggesting that. Like,
really?
It was somehow
yeah.
stepping on the reverence of the event.
Yeah. Huh.
So it's interesting now that, you know, they're now making what sounds like a quality film about it, and they've made several yeah. films centered around it, and, you know,
yeah.
it's, I guess, part of the healing process. But at that time, it was like,
yeah.
F you, basically, for how dare you say that.
That's true,
even suggest
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I know. Well, you know, times change and stuff, so it's hard to know, you know. How long have you been at Warner Brothers?
Since 1992.
Wow. That's a long time. It's 20 years.
Yes.
Wow. You'll
Good
be
job.
CEO soon.
Well, if they were smart, you'd be CEO. But
yeah.
unfortunately, I mean, we can talk about the Warner Brothers politics in many different dimensions.
Oh, no. I don't think she wants to talk about that, man. She wants to be able to go back to work tomorrow.
Yeah. That's really cool, though. You help with the post-production.
Yeah.
I helped with the TV show I briefly was on, Femme Fatales. Just kind of, well, it didn't really help, but I'm friends with the creators, and I got to go, I was in one of the episodes, but I got to go and just watch how they did the post-production. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff, yeah, to see how they edit things and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
And we do two TV, well, our facility is on the lot, and we were set up originally because of piracy, and what their idea was is if you put something on the lot and it stays there, it doesn't go anywhere else, you have less chance of people stealing your content. So we do a lot of Warner Brothers films, but the television shows, because there's so many of them, we have so many, like 26 of them, we don't do a lot of those. So we only do like Mentalist and Harry's Law. Those are only two TV shows we do.
Wow.
And that's how I keep up with the episodes. That's how I watch it while I'm doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
There's so many great TV shows. I just don't get, you know, a chance to watch all of them. And what would you recommend on TV today? Do you guys watch TV at all?
I do, but I don't watch the channels that most people probably watch.
Yeah.
I watch like the History Channel or
like Discovery
like
and Science,
NFL Network,
yeah.
things
yeah.
like that. I watch sort of offbeat television. I really
yeah.
You know,
so
I'm,
you're not into like Dancing with the Stars or anything
ew.
Like that.
No,
I know it's a terrible
you
show.
You know, like contests with voting or things. Like, I can't really. I myself can't embrace. I know why it's so popular.
Uh-huh.
And dramatic television really is all the same, one note, kind of similar.
Yeah.
I'm not really. I don't really have the time for it. Not
yeah,
to be sound like I'm above it. I'm not. I'm just I can't get into a show
not your thing.
And commit to it.
Yeah.
You know, I can watch a documentary and it's done.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
But I don't have to tune in on Tuesday to find out what happened, you know.
Yeah, you do have to commit to it, you know. But there's some good movies. We started watching Super 8 the other night.
Did you
we
like
only
it?
Watched half an hour of it because we had to go to bed. We were tired. But we wanted to at least start the movie. And I liked what I saw so far, yeah.
I liked it a lot. It's kind of like the Goonies meets E.T.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, but don't tell me, okay?
That is not a ringing endorsement when you say, I started watching, but I had to go to bed.
Yeah.
Couldn't
that,
be
that
good.
Could be
no, but that's how I watch movies, you know. I don't have the patience to sit there for 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's why I don't go to theaters anymore. I used to go to the movies twice a week, like religiously. You know, and now I haven't been to the movies in years, you know, just because, I don't know, I've become like antsy. I can't sit there for 2 hours. So, you know, I'll sit, you know, get up, do something, and then come back and that. But hopefully we'll finish watching it tonight. Because
it's a good movie.
It's a good movie. I've waited for it a long time.
Well, if you don't go to sleep again, I'm anxious to see what your review is.
Oh, and a new movie that I went to see that's not a Warner Brothers movie was Hugo, and that was amazing.
Was it? It got such great reviews, huh?
It's like a film lesson for kids mixed in with animation. It's really neat.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't
so
seen that one.
You recommend that. What about Rin Tin Tin? Does that have any good previews? I mean, are people saying good things
movie?
About it? No, that's a Steven Spielberg movie that's coming out.
No clue.
I'll wait to hear your review on that one, too,
yeah.
Sam.
No, it's not a dog movie. It's Rin Tin Tin. I'm surprised you haven't heard of it. You know?
Well, I thought that was a dog, Rin Tin Tin. Wasn't
yeah,
that a dog?
No, there's also a...
It's like an animated kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the previews.
It's a 3D animation, yeah. But here, let me bring it in.
Not a clue.
No?
I'm actually tired of all this 3D, too. I want to kind of go back to when it was more of a 2D format.
Yeah.
Less in your face with every gimmick.
I know. I don't get the 3D because it's not there yet. The technology is not there yet, you know? I mean, they're starting to make TVs where you don't need the glasses, and that might actually work pretty well. But until they get rid of the glasses, I'm not going to watch any 3D, you know?
It's interesting because she just mentioned, Loda mentioned Harold and Kumar's Christmas in 3D, and I'm wondering, yeah. Is that the next step with the franchise?
Yeah.
But this one is in 3D. So when they do something disgusting, it's right in your face. I'm like thinking, is that really necessarily? And you know, a lot of times they're not shot in 3D.
And
they do a 3D pass.
Can't even tell you what's
and that's terrible.
Be in your face.
Yeah.
And that's basically just to
bad,
rob you
right?
of more. It's just basically to take money from you.
Yeah.
But do you know what it is? Because I do work in post-production, what it is a lot of movies, they weren't shot in 3D.
Right.
So it's an aftermarket 3D, which is even worse.
Right.
You know, we're releasing a couple of movies that weren't shot in 3D, and we're re-releasing them on 3D. Mm-hmm. But some of the movies that are that were made for 3D, like Hugo, if you're going to go see it, I would suggest 3D. It's very well done.
I promise you that Warner Brothers is looking at their classic archive saying, let's do a 3D pass on Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah.
Let's do a 3D pass on A Bridge Too Far. Let's do a 3D pass on there. I guarantee you that they've had those meetings,
yeah.
and they're going to embrace that.
There's
because that's the next
Star
way
Wars
to make
coming.
The that's the next way to make
I'm
the franchise,
yeah.
you know, or their film library, you know,
to sort of
lucrative
like revamp,
again.
Yeah, what they have, you know, sort of like bring it back and yeah,
really
get more
it.
Money out of it, milk it to, for all they can, you know.
But I have yet to see a movie in 3D. And
really?
I'm
You've
yeah,
never
I'm not
seen
into
one?
That either. But who is the audience for this? Is it mainly kids?
Not really. I mean,
parents?
Some people are embracing 3D.
Love it.
But I don't think it's there yet. You know, I don't know. I heard Avatar was good in 3D. I never saw it in 3D.
But I'm the one guy in America who thought that was a totally predictable run-of-the-mill movie.
Really? Yeah.
You know, she... Yeah. Meets the girl who happens to be the, you know, eyeballed by the mean guy in the tribe, and they slowly embrace him after his classic deceit.
Right.
I just felt like we'd seen that 100
times.
You're right. But they razzle-dazzled you into thinking it was the greatest movie ever.
Yeah.
You know? And I kind of thought like it was Dances with Avatars.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it wasn't the greatest thing, but I think it was definitely a pioneer in some of the things it did. And the visuals are just amazing.
With Michelle Rodriguez as Michelle Rodriguez.
Exactly.
The exact same character
does the same thing
in every movie.
You're right.
It's like Costner or, you know, a lot of these guys. It's almost like they've become like caricatures of themselves.
Of themselves, yeah.
I will be happy to play myself in this movie.
That's much money.
You know?
Yeah, in 3D.
One of the things that I told somebody that one of the engineers is that if they're going to do 3D and you really want somebody to come back to the theater, take it up a notch. Do 360 3D, like what they have at Universal, where you can feel everything and you see the 3D.
Oh, right. That's a good idea.
I mean, if you're going to make me pay more money, I want to be in the movie. I feel like I'm in the movie. That
isn't that
really
good idea. Cinemax thing?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they call it? Cinemax, where it's like around you and stuff?
I'm thinking Skinamax.
What am I thinking? Cinemax is the friggin' TV channel.
Yeah.
I'm thinking
work for Skinamax, too.
No,
I have.
You're thinking when they have the Cinerama Dome.
Yeah.
Cinerama.
Well, the Cinerama, but they have other ones. It's something with Max. I can't remember it. But okay, it'll come up to me in a minute.
Yeah, because
that's a really
good
idea, though.
You feel the water. You feel his breath breathing on you.
Uh-huh.
Like that.
That's
me.
Amazing.
If you want me to pay more money, give me that.
Yeah.
They have like brief rides like that, or you know, shows like that at amusement parks.
Yeah, at Disneyland. And Universal.
That would be fun. That would make me go more.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It does work on a ride. You're right. Yeah.
It works for a 2-minute like trek through the universe with stormtroopers.
That's
and
true.
Stuff.
Can you imagine 2.5 hours of it?
You know,
or
where you've
two
got,
hours?
You know, you got the motion to kind of synced up to the visuals. You know, that works good.
But, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think what people are doing is they're using it and they're getting away from really good stories and they're just using it as like a crutch. Like, there's really nothing to this movie per se, like Harold and Kumar, for example.
Right.
But if we 3D it out, we can get another, you know,
$4 million
from kids who, you know, I don't know. I just feel like it's, you know, they don't really want to do good movies or they think they're doing good movies and they're not. I think
right.
it's just a bad executive
it's
department.
All about money.
Yeah.
And they're using that as another, like, it may suck, but it's in 3D. So
yeah.
The suckiness isn't, you know, right? There for everyone to experience. That's just my feeling. I mean, yeah. I haven't seen a good movie in so long, it seems like.
Yeah. Now, how did they do the 3D pass, like when it wasn't shot in 3D? How do they create the illusion?
They have to go through a whole new, like, scanning process and all of this stuff, and it's a pain.
Really?
Yeah. It's...
Because, I mean, I can't imagine, because when you film with two cameras, you get in different angles, just like with our eyes. So how can they do that when they only have, you know, a 2D shot?
Yeah, they like it's like split in the screen. Because when I was in Harold and Kumar, there's like either a top and a bottom or a side to side 3D. So that's all this stuff they have to do, and they split the screen.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Add layers. Like layering, okay. I'm talking about my butt.
You'll see Dirty Harry in 3D, and it'll be like just like two scenes where his gun kind of comes at you, and they'll make millions of dollars doing it. They're getting ready to trash every work of art, I'm sure. In the name of commercialism, it's already in motion.
Yeah. And 3D TVs are not doing as well as they did in the beginning, you know, so I think it's kind of like people are realizing it's not
the economy to go out and buy a TV for that feature, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah, that's true.
They just, you know, dragged us over the coals for like flat screens.
Yeah.
You know, we're all done now for a while. We're done. We're you know, no one can pay anything anymore.
Yeah,
it seems like,
so. I know. The hell with 3D.
Exactly. Man. The hell with it. You know, talk to me after these Wall Street jokers get their shit together. Then I'll maybe go out and buy a 3D. But who knows what the next sort of economic bomb will be. So I think people are tentative.
Yeah. I know. I know what you mean. Actually, you see, you were right. Rin Tin Tin is the dog. This one is Tin Tin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. See, I'm not crazy.
No, but you could have corrected me for crying out loud.
Oh, but I don't know. I don't know. Do I look like someone who knows what Rin Tin Tin is? I've heard it. You know, that's about the extent
of
it.
You're right. Rin Tin Tin is a dog, and this one is Tin Tin.
You know, Lota loves all these, like, you know, these dog-friendly movies, Marley and Me. I don't watch any of that crap.
Oh,
do I look
like I'm watching any of that?
See, exactly. See, your co-host knows exactly what I'm talking about. I can't even, you know... You know, where it's all about, I mean, not that it's, I'm in favor of animal cruelty or anything, but I'm not a big, like, let's go to this dog movie guy.
Right, exactly, yeah. You know,
there's not a single building blows up in Marley and Me. Not one building blows sky high in Marley and Me. I'm out.
I know. What is it with guys need everything blown up,
I'm joking.
It's true, though, you know? I mean, if there's no action, I'm out of there, you know?
Lame.
Cinematic action, at least.
Yeah.
Like, a good story.
Yeah.
I think the Europeans just are coming back with, like, getting back to what, you know, made them such an industry competitor in the first place back in the 50s and 60s. You know, they're getting back to really human stories that people can relate to. Mm. We're not really doing that here too much, I think.
Yeah.
We're doing gimmicks.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah. So, Ethan, tell us a little bit about what you're doing for the holidays. You're doing some noble things. And
yes, the reason I forced myself an invite to this show today. I had to, because he had some high-profile quality guests, and the only way I could sub in is if I tortured him. But we're doing two things. Actually, on December 4th, Sunday, we're going to be at Valley College, and we're giving away 100 Christmas trees to wounded combat veterans. And some of the underprivileged. It's a voucher system. You have to go to combatradio.net or combatradio121@yahoo.com to get a voucher. But we're trying, and that's actually, you know, it occurred to me that's kind of a small thing. It's a small morale boost. I'm kind of disappointed in myself because I think we could have done more. But
in what way?
I just feel it's just at the end of the day, it's just a tree. I feel like. You know, so
it makes a difference. You know, I mean, people bring it home and stuff. They can make their home festive.
I do feel that it does make a difference. You're right. But I mean, my own opinion is I felt like what do we do for these people in the new year? But on December 10th and Saturday morning, I'm doing the Combat Radio Celebrity Charity Breakfast with Santa at Salt Creek Grill in Valencia, at the Valencia Town Center. And that's going to be a big event for us. We've got a lot of the celebrities that you come to know as regulars on Combat Radio are going to be co-hosting it with me, and it's going to benefit not only Toys for Tots, but also Family Promise, which is an organization that helps homeless people, and many of the children at the event will be homeless, and it also goes a little bit to the school district. So it's a three-prong charity attack that day, but it's a big deal. I think, there's just in my neighborhood alone, there's roughly 1,500 to 2,000 homeless children.
What?
By the federal definition.
Wow.
Meaning they live in their cars. And just try to, you know, I tell people, you know, just try to live in your car one night. Why don't you just park your car in a shopping center parking lot and see if you can do it just once.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you'll have some sympathy. The other thing, you know, I mean, not to be too demanding on people, but the one thing that's, you know, Lota's done charity work her whole life, which is why I embraced it. Lota always adopts a family at the holidays or two, and you know, gets very into getting lists for the kids and trying to prepare something for the kids. And she's done a lot of work with the City of Hope and the Children's Hospital, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So she's actually what got me into it, because the rewards emotionally are just so unbelievable if you can get involved. And what I tell people is, you know, just go into a mission or a homeless shelter, or go into the children's hospital, and then you decide what you suddenly have time to do.
Right.
And what you suddenly can give. Instead of it being ambiguous, like, oh, I know there's kids, 6, 7, and 8, battling cancer with tubes in their system and their eyes taped shut and on respirators. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying you know that, why don't you go in there and see that, and then you can walk out and you can see, what do you suddenly have time to do for this place?
True. Yeah. So is that how you got started with these things? I mean, you're obviously involved in a lot of charity and, you know, and events like this.
But not nearly enough. I'm really disappointed in myself. In fact, I was very frustrated last week. I said, I'm not doing enough. The problem has become so big.
But you can't take care of everybody, you know, so you do the best you can.
But, you know, that's where I'm demented, because I feel I can try to make a difference and solve the problem sometimes myself. I do feel like in that demented way I can beat the problem.
Yeah.
So I'm really trouble for a lot of people around me. That's why I'm kind of considered a crazy man, I think, because I do feel like my efforts will I'll outwork everyone to a solution if I have to. I'd also, you know, to be honest with you, being a parent has changed my life. You know, before that, it was all about having a good time. And as soon as I became a parent and I realized that there's little lives like this, the idea that she, my daughter, would have to go without a holiday or not know where her home was or not even know where she's going to eat, which is the reality, that's where I just decided, well, we're just going to have to do whatever we can do, even at our own even at cost to us or our own sacrifice.
Right.
We can do something. Because I was in this homeless shelter last week that we're benefiting with this breakfast, and in this, it's a small little house behind a church, and the first thing you see when you walk in the room, right, is a library, and it says Dream on it, kind of to encourage kids to, you know, think you can be something,
right,
you know, but I thought that was the most important message, to know that you can overcome it, because I don't think a lot of people do. I think they sink into crime, drugs, they escape into different things that are negative. But, you know, it's not just about helping the homeless. It's about helping whatever your passion may be.
Right.
You know, you don't have to do this for the homeless. If you want to put your time into another community aspect, do it. But, you know what, I'm fortunate, because with Combat Radio, we have so many celebrities that are generous. And quite frankly, I haven't got a single no. I've conscripted everyone I know into these events.
Yeah.
You know, I had to step out at the beginning of this show to drop a guitar off for Robbie Krieger, the Doors to sign, all these people. Magic Johnson signed basketballs to auction off. A lot of my contacts at the NFL Network, Hall of Famer, signed football. No problem. It was never a problem.
Really?
No, you know, they was like, bring it to me, I'll sign it, I'll be there.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, everyone's donated. You know, it's nice. And I hope that the emotional rewards are there on the day for everyone who participated, so we can go on to something even greater.
Yeah, yeah. And you know why I think it's noble? Because you guys are putting in a lot of effort that if you put it into a business, for example, you'd make decent money just with all the energy you're spending on this. But you're doing this for other people and not making a dime on this. And I think it's very noble. You know, there's not a lot of people to do that. I never volunteered. But, you know, after hearing the things that you're talking about, it really it moves you.
Well, I think you have to give yourself more – thank you for that. But you have to give yourself more credit, because when we have done charity events at Universal with Combat Radio, Sam, you have attended. And you've come up and you've contributed.
Well, if I attended, but what have I done? Come on.
No, but, you know, it's true, we can all do more. And I'll be the first person to say that.
I came and
enjoyed
the party.
No, but you know what? Sometimes for that still is help. I mean, I think you were at the one we did for – 8-year-old Rosemary Romo, who was an 8-year-old battling brain cancer, who had no health insurance. We did a fundraiser just for her up there.
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
And I think you were at that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people we didn't know donated to that little girl. I didn't even know that little girl. My daughter was the one who said we wanted to do this. So, you know, we did it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we did it. But, I mean, it just barely started. There's so much that can be done.
Yeah.
And it's not about making any money. I mean, I'll spend whatever I've got to make sure someone has just an equal share. I mean, imagine a world, right, where everyone's got a shot at happiness, just a chance at happiness.
Yeah.
Imagine, you know, get rid of the harsh feelings and the low self-esteem and the negativity, you know, and that's really what it's about.
Yeah.
Just to joke around about Warner Brothers and their movies, but one story I wanted to tell about the generosity little things can do is a few years ago when I used to head the adoption of the families from City of Hope, and one of the ladies called me. And this three-year-old little boy had was really not doing too well. And his hero was Scooby-Doo. So I contacted Chris DeFario at Warner Brothers, who produced the movie. and asked him, is there a way he could send out Scooby-Doo to City of Hope? So they, you know, took my letters and they sent out Scooby-Doo, and this little boy was just, they sent me pictures. He was just ecstatic.
Wow.
He walked him around and they brought presents and all of this stuff. Well, he passed away a few days later.
Uh-huh.
But you think about it, you gave this little boy his hero for his final days on Earth.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not even the big things you can do. It's sometimes the little things that make a difference. I mean, he didn't have a long life, but that made a big difference in his life. You know, just a little gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And anyone can do that. You can get involved and do things like that, because as beautiful as that story is, the dark side of it is there's probably hundreds of thousands of children in the same situation that aren't getting any love, attention, or even respect.
Wow. And that's tough. You know, that's tough. I mean, if you don't get that attention, even when you're healthy, let alone when you're sick and you need the support and everything, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, my neighborhood is 40% foreclosed. Kids are losing their homes. They're moving into their cars. They're moving in the middle
of
the night.
Really? Wow.
It's ridiculous. And a foreclosed home has a very haunted feel to it. You know, we walk to school every day and talk. And, you know, my daughter almost tells me weekly that this is so-and-so's last day at school.
Wow.
And that was very real for us, too. You know, the economy can change. We work in entertainment, and that's probably the most unreliable field on Earth. It's terrible even on its best days.
Right.
So it's a reality for us. But, you know, as long as we have a foot to stand on, you know, why don't we try to improve the world around us by helping whoever we can help? And it doesn't cost you anything to do it.
Yeah. And it makes you feel good. You know, I would imagine, you feel good about yourself, about what you do, about other people, and so forth. You know, you don't feel so selfish. You know,
that's why I love Scrooge, right? Yeah. Not to bring up a Christmas movie to you, but you know, it's like, and it's been done 100 times. But at the end of the movie, the guy who has kept every penny to himself for selfish reasons realizes that he's just galvanized by the feeling of giving, and he realizes that it doesn't cost anything really. It's just money.
Right.
And it's changing lives. And that's the best thing about the end of that movie, I think, to me. Mm. And I never get tired of seeing it.
Yeah.
Because he's like a terrible person
until
he realizes, hey, he basically comes to the point where he's like, I've deprived myself of this emotional charge my whole life by not giving.
Right.
And that's what his life becomes about from there on out.
Yeah.
They should do Scrooge too. It'd be a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
One of the things I would tell people to watch, it's not denominational or anything, is if you can go on the website, Google The Last Lecture. This man who was dying of pancreatic cancer gave a couple of lessons. And one of the things he said, which to me was the most beautiful thing ever, is value people, not things.
Mm.
Value people, not things. If you do that, if you think about that, that means that you will not get caught up in the stuff.
Right.
Even the foreclosed house. I had a very dear friend of mine who lost her house, and I said, it's a thing. It's just a bigger thing.
Yeah.
But you have your family, you have your children, you have your health. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, so, you know, if you think about that, it'll be a lot easier to give because you don't be caught up in the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's true, you know, and I really think everybody could use a little more involvement with other people. I don't think we were meant to just be happy with stuff, you know. I mean, we're social animals, you know, and you can see that by behavior in different cultures. You know, people help each other. People, you know, I mean, there's always wars and shit like that. But, you know, but people help each other. People become involved. And that's the only way to survive. That's the only way the human species is going to survive, is if we help each other, you know. So, God, I want to find somebody and help them right now. You make me in the mood.
It's certainly.
Ethan will help you.
Yeah, maybe a pretty girl who's lonely. I'll help her.
I've got plenty of people who could use help. But I'll tell you, honestly, I think, and this has always been true for me, is I become a better, happier, more fun, inspired person for helping. I mean, you may help somebody and they get the help, but the reality is it probably benefits the giver more
if
you're in a sincere situation.
Yeah.
So from a selfish standpoint, I really like that. And, you know, we're very fortunate because this event we're doing, you know, although there is a substantial cost to us, don't bat an eye at that, but there are some partners who got involved and made it that much better.
Yeah.
At their expense as well,
right?
Which is who we're really in debt to, is all the people that said, no, have that here at our restaurant. and let's do this and we can do that and I'll come down and I'll perform and all these special people that got involved in it, you know, and it's in Valencia at 8 a.m. and I can't tell you how many of these rock and roll types are probably not even going to bed at that hour, but they're pledging to come out on that morning and be there and just meet a bunch of kids. You know, it's like in many ways it's not the most glamorous aspect of entertainment, but no one said no. I mean, everyone is like, I will be there, just tell me. I've had friends, my friend Jimmy Marino at Disney just called me and said, look, I'm going to take that day off. You just give me something to do. I'll be there. Just let me help out. And I can't tell you what that means to me.
Yeah. Well, you've inspired a lot of people, obviously.
Nah, I don't think I've done enough. That's the emotional drawback. Is I'm always, thank you for that, but I always feel like, and Lotus heard me say it. I said, this breakfast is only for 200 kids.
Yeah.
We're not even going to make a dent in our neighborhood, much less in the problem. I mean, next year we got to do 1,000 kids.
Right.
We're not even close to charging a little cheer into the situation. Yeah. So Lota goes a little nuts because it's getting all the different people to collaborate. She always hears me say, you know, we're not doing enough. It's not for enough. It's not helping enough.
Right.
We need to do more.
Wow.
So we'll see. Hopefully this goes into something bigger next year.
Right.
Where we can really do something good.
And I wanted to say thank you to Greg, who is the owner of Salt Creek
World. Greg Amsler, yes.
Because we have the absolute classiest restaurant in Valencia.
Really?
Volunteer, yes.
Well, let me tell you, too, how cool this guy is.
Not only volunteer.
Salt Creek Grill is probably the nicest place in Valencia, in my humble opinion. The best place. I'm in there on a regular basis.
Right.
We had a place volunteer to do the breakfast originally. I'm going to respect them enough to not say who it was. They originally said, you know, I'll donate the staff, you buy the ingredients, and we're a go. As we started promoting the event weeks later, their ownership rethought it and said, you know what, we'd really like, we're in a position economically, we need to make money off of this event.
Yeah.
And they wanted basically $4,000 to
really?
Do the breakfast.
Wow.
Upon hearing that, I drove right over to Salt Creek because it's the greatest place. And I didn't ask them first because I just didn't think this place is so nice and so good that they'd be interested. And I just walked right up to the manager and I said, look, I just came from a place. Here's what I'm doing. I want to do a charity celebrity breakfast with Santa. He put me in touch with the owner. Mm-hmm. We saw him for brunch that day, and there was no politics about it. He just said, yeah, on the spot, we can do it. We'll do it at our cost, no problem.
Wow.
And got in the mix just like that. Like, no, you know, well, hemming and hawing, how can I make money or how do I utilize this for myself? He was just like, yeah, let's do it. And we have we're very fortunate to be hosting this at probably one of the most beautiful, it looks like a ski lodge, but one of the most beautiful and quality places in town. And I can't thank Greg Amsler enough and Salt Creek Grill. It's incredible.
If you ever listen to The Wave, they have they had a Sunday brunch every other Sunday. That
right.
was the place that they had.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It's a combat radio brunch soon, starting in the new year.
Okay.
Really cool. I'm joking. I don't think we'd be a good fit for brunch, personally. Nobody wants to hear me and eat simultaneously. But we may do some things. We want to do some things to help them out. I mean, they've been so beautiful in this whole situation.
Yeah.
Because anyone could have given you trouble about it. You know, there's no profit. You got to open up at 6 in the morning to set up, you know, and he was just like, no, we'll do it, we're happy to do it, we're gonna get involved, it's just that special. And when you call people too, because I have no celebrity cachet, no one wants to do anything with me, but if I call the people that do have some value to children in the market, in the media, and the media's been gracious to respond to cover the event, then, you know, and I told them all personally, I said, look, I can't tell you, you're making this event happen, not me. I can plan it all day long, but no one's going to come out to see me. They're coming out to see Bumblebee from Transformers.
Right.
You know, Mark Ryan is on Combat Radio. Or they're coming out to see, the guy from, you know, Cars, the guy from the Boondocks. You know, they love those guys. And those guys know that the, you know, typically they get big money to go to conventions and sign autographs and to come out early in the morning when it's probably dark out to do this for a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
that's
it's
cool. You know, and I think it's thanks to your passion and your persistence in this. You know, I mean, you obviously, you know, you go in, people see that you're excited about it, that you're all stoked up about it. And they join you, you know, and that's amazing.
It's a total privilege. I have not had to go mafia on one guy. I have not had to back anyone in a corner and threaten
them
or demand.
Well, I'm proud of you.
And I'm proud of myself, but I'm also more proud of everyone else who's just, you know, probably beat me to the punch of, before I can even finish asking them to be a part of it, they're like, well, how do I get there? What can I do?
Yeah.
You know, so... It's been fortunate.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So how long have you guys been married? I don't think I ever asked you that.
It's been about 11 years we've been together.
Really?
Yeah, we have an 8-year-old, and we have we're a family of 5.
Family of 5.
There's 5.
Okay.
Five
your
of us all
son,
together.
Right?
Son and a daughter.
I have a 24-year-old son and a 21-year-old daughter.
Oh, okay.
What?
Yeah. Well, she looks
That's
so young,
crazy.
Huh?
Well, they
yeah,
got
I'm 24. You're my mama. You do not look like a mama for me.
And then we got Sean, who's 8. Who only put 3 things on her list to Santa because she didn't want to be greedy, and the 3rd was clean clothes for the homeless.
Wow.
No way.
Yeah.
She takes after her parents.
Yeah, you see, they raised her well.
Well, wow. Last year she wanted food for the homeless, so Santa left her cases of soup, and I swear she went right for that, and then Christmas was over. As soon as she saw that, she didn't really care about any of the other stuff.
Wow.
We went to the church, we dropped it off. It was just really cool. It was just
That's really cool to see. That's funny. That's awesome.
Yeah. My older kids, when I every Christmas, they had to, we adopted families outside of work, and they had to go with me to drop off the stuff because I wanted them to understand. This is not a given. This is not, you know, something that everybody gets. So they had to go with me, pack the stuff up, go to the families. And it makes a difference. They get a, you know, realistic understanding of, you know, everybody is not that fortunate.
No, it's not. Yeah. I can't tell you how lucky. I mean, I'm such a victim of dumb luck in my life that you cannot help but believe in God looking at my life. It's such a series of just crazy fortune.
Yeah.
A guy who did everything to fuck it up repeatedly and has managed to come out on top with, you know, just enough to be happy. Yeah. You can't help but look at that and be like, you got to give back.
Yeah, you're very fortunate.
You have to
give
back.
Yeah.
You know how many times I turned left instead of right and could have been in prison?
Yeah.
Or done something stupid or been with the wrong person or just been broke or homeless or destitute. So you got to give back.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. So why don't you go ahead and recap both events, just the dates, where they are at.
Well, I guess what I would say, you know, the celebrity breakfast with Santa on the morning of December 10th is actually sold out. There wasn't room for many. We want to do a much bigger one next year. But what I would like to point out where that event is concerned is it's for Toys for Tots, and it's for the Family Promise Homeless Organization. Toys for Tots is anywhere. They only ask for a $10 toy, you know, that's run by the Marines. But, you know, the homeless are everywhere, too. You may not be able to go to this breakfast, but you can certainly do a breakfast or do something or just get involved.
Right.
And, you know, as much as it's about the events, you know, it's really about, you know, will someone look at this event and maybe try their own event?
Right.
Or do something in a conjunction to an event. Or, most importantly, just go get a look around a homeless shelter or a children's hospital and then figure out what they can do, where they can volunteer, or what they can give. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've got an extra $5 that day. It all makes a difference in someone's life. So, you know, as much as I want to thank you for letting us mention the events, the most important message for me is to try and encourage people to go out there and try to do something like that.
Right.
It's not about our event as much as it could be about your event.
Right.
Let's go to your event next.
Yeah. And there's a lot of them, I'm sure, you know, if people want to get involved, you know.
Get involved.
They're
or
everywhere.
Just start it up. Fire it up. I mean, do donuts for, you know, set up a banquet table and do donuts for the homeless one morning.
That's
you know, there's,
true,
there's
yeah.
You can do anything. You can invent it. And you can be in charge of it. And you can be the guy that has the, you know, the galvanized emotions from giving.
Yeah. Well, you made me totally reevaluate my life now and my ability to help people.
Not to interrupt you, Sam, but because you have this station and been gracious enough to do radio, let us do radio work here, and I know I'm temperamental, but, you know, because you've let us have a format to talk, that has given us the credibility with so many people to do this. If we didn't have a radio show and we didn't offer any radio PR, I don't think half these people would be involved, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I don't think Costco would have given the food. I don't think that Ralph's would have gotten involved. I think, honestly, because we have a chance to – we have this station, LA Talk Radio, to call home, that people have responded because of that, but also because you let us get our message out.
Oh, well.
How many people would I reach just talking on the street?
You're doing more good than
I'm
you think.
I'm doing more good, yeah.
You're doing more good than you realize, and we're all very, very grateful. We don't probably say it enough to you, but we're all grateful that you've created this institution. You've loaded it with quality content from top to bottom. And all the interesting shows, and we've been a chance to be a part of it. We've been a chance to crash your show and other shows and get a message out there. And
that's what it's all about.
Bravo.
Okay, Ethan Detmeyer and Loda Hadley, thank you so much, guys, for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been great. Always fun to have you. Steph, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
gracias.
We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Sam and Steph in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only right here on LA Talk Radio. If you have a question for one of our hosts Or if you would like to inquire about starting your very own talk radio show, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Steph in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.